Well, good morning, and God bless everybody today in the name of Jesus Christ. And I just thank God. I thank Bob and Jeannie, Barney and Vicki, Jan, and all of you wonderful believers for the privilege of being able to share God's word with you. Something that I love to do because I so love God and I so love his word. And it is such a joy to be able to share with you the word today. And I don't think there's anybody who would disagree with me that we are living in very challenging times right now. And many people are facing challenges in life. And there's no one who's exempt from the difficulties of life. If you're not personally dealing with something, chances are that you're standing with and supporting someone who is. You know, before the Lord was arrested, he told his disciples that this would be the case. In John 16, verse 33, he says, "These things I have spoken unto you that ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That word tribulation is the Greek word thalipsis that means pressure. It's either literal or figurative. And it can be affliction or anguish or to be burdened. It can be persecution, trouble, anxiety, or burden of heart. So does that ring a bell for anybody? Certainly does for me. These are only some of the forms that this pressure can take. It can be physical oppression brought on by sickness, disease, or injury causing pain. It can be financial pressure brought on by a lack of financial resources or provision. It can be mental oppression brought on by emotional distress and external circumstances, or even spiritual oppression brought on by evil spirits and wicked influences. Many, many people are struggling to survive while dealing with one or more of these pressures. Yet these things ought not so to be for a child of God. Also, on the night before his arrest, the Lord spoke these words to his disciples. "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Now, we know that word heart denotes the center of our physical and our spiritual life. That word troubled means to be agitated. It's like a thing, the moving parts to and fro. It's to be agitated. And it can cause us to be restless or disquieted or stirred up, troubled, to be anxious or perplexed. And that word afraid means to be timid or fearful. One surefire way to let your heart be troubled or to let it be afraid is to dwell on the senses, facts, and circumstances and endeavor to figure the way out. This is not only a fruitless exercise, it is really suicidal for your peace. Yet nobody can let not your heart be troubled for you. You are the only one who can do that. So how do we find this peace that the Lord talks about so that we can let not our hearts be troubled concerning the circumstances that we face? Well, let's look at a few things that do not work first. It doesn't work to distract ourselves with addictive behaviors like drugs, alcohol, food, whatever, because we're only distracted. It hasn't solved the problem. It doesn't help to pretend that the issue isn't there by simply failing to address necessary situations. Like ignoring the bills that come or refusing to handle responsibilities. And it doesn't help to check out from life situations by just binge watching TV all weekend or playing video games all day or sleeping all day. Those things don't work because when it's all said and done, the pressure is still there. All of these attempts to escape the situation, people in the world will try, but as children of God, we must get a grip and remember who we are and whose we are. So let's look at Ephesians chapter 1. And starting in verse 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he has made us accepted in the beloved." Skip down to verse 12, and it says that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. You know, this is not a fairy tale. We are children of the Most High God. The creator of the heavens and the earth is our Father, our Abba. The one who formed and made the human body is our Daddy. The one who made every basic form of matter here upon this earth is closer to us than our very breath. Yet, we can still be tricked into fearing for our lives, whether physical, emotional, or financial. These things ought not so to be. God has given us the way out in every situation, and it is very simple, yet sometimes very difficult for us to embrace. That way out is mentioned in Ephesians 1:12 that we just read. We are to be to the praise of his glory. Praise. Praise. Can it be that simple? Praise is that is our way out of these challenging situations that cause our hearts to be troubled and afraid. Praise will cause us to take our eyes off of ourselves and off of our circumstances, about which we can do little or nothing anyway, and it puts our eyes squarely on God. Praise will cause us to speak the wonderful works of God and put into motion the spiritual forces that will change our circumstances. Praise is something we do unconsciously. Have you ever talked about your favorite athlete or your favorite sports team? I've heard many a sports fan go on and on ad infinitum about the stellar attributes of their team. So to praise is something that comes naturally. It is a magnificent way to express our love and thanksgiving to our Father, the one who loves us so dearly. Praise will humble us, causing us to acknowledge our inability and recognize God's ability. Praise will cause our hearts to be filled with thanksgiving for what we do have, rather than focusing on what we feel we need or we want. The natural man is prideful and will refuse to humble himself to praise God, but this should not be true of his children. We love him because he first loved us. Praise will lift the spirit of heaviness and put joy in its place. That's in Isaiah chapter 61, verse 3. Let's look at that really quick. Isaiah 61. It says, "To appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness." I think if you've ever had that spirit of heaviness, it's something that is a very unpleasant thing, depression. Since the joy of the Lord is our strength, as Nehemiah tells us, and we need strength in order to overcome whatever the situation is that we face, it would behoove us to spend time in praise to the one who knows exactly what is needed to change and resolve every situation we face. It is in his presence that we will find the fullness of joy. So we have that joy, then we have strength, and then we can overcome. Because there's nothing too hard for God. What's cancer or diabetes or 15 overdue bills or depression or a wayward child to the one who created the heavens and the earth and loves us dearly? Is there anything too hard for him? No, there is not. One of my favorite records of someone who faced an impossible situation and how it turned out for him is the record of Jehoshaphat in 2 Chronicles chapter 20. Now, because of time and other things that I want to touch on, we're not going to read that record together today, but I encourage you to go and read the record in 2 Chronicles chapter 20 regarding Jehoshaphat and his response to devastating news that was in his faith and how God turned it around for him when praise was offered to God. But I would like to look at a different aspect of praise today. What does it do for God when we praise him? Psalm 34 says, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Now, think about that. Something that you talk about all the time is something that you think about all the time. And something that you think about all the time is something that has had a major impact on your heart and your life. Well, I say that God and the Lord Jesus Christ have definitely made a lasting impression on our hearts and our lives. That word blessed there means it's an act of adoration, praise, or even a salute. Now, Psalm 103, verse 1, is another verse that we're very familiar with. I think it was last week the song that was played was 1,000 Reasons, Bless the Lord, O My Soul. Here, Psalm 103, verse 1 says, Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name. You see that? It says, O my soul, bless the Lord. This is something that would be done with the understanding. Spiritually, we can bless the Lord, too, by speaking in tongues. But this says, bless the Lord, O my soul. This is me rehearsing to God all the things that I love about him, the things that I am thankful for. Now, here's something to think about. When Adam and Eve were in the garden before the fall, they fellowshiped with God every day, right? They had no prayer requests for healing or prosperity or deliverance. All of their needs were met in every category, yet they still fellowshiped with God. What do you think they talked about? What was there to fellowship about if there weren't any problems? So obviously, fellowship with God is more than talking about problems, what we need, deliverance we need, what we want. There were interesting animals for them to tell him they discovered, or beautiful flowers, or the variety of fruit trees. I mean, just think about the things that Adam and Eve might have talked to God about. God yearns to fellowship with us. We're his children. He would love to hear from our lips the things that we see that he has done that we enjoy, the things that make us laugh, the things that we appreciate. He has provided for us so many wonderful things, And a natural response to his goodness is thanksgiving, praise, and worship. Now, what's God's response when we praise him? Let's look at Zephaniah chapter 3. I'll give you a minute to find Zephaniah. In verse 17, it says, "The Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee with singing." That word joy, he will joy over thee with singing, it means to dance, to spin around, to leap for joy. That's what God does over us, his children. In Psalm chapter 8, or Psalm 8, in verse 2, it says, "Out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou hast ordained strength because of thine enemies, that thou mightest still the enemy and the avenger." And that reference to "out of the mouth of babes thou hast ordained strength" is a reference to prayer, praise in the spirit. And when we praise God via the spirit, he is the one that stills the enemy and the avenger. We don't have to do that. Just like if you have a 2-year-old sitting in the living room and there's a burglar trying to come in the front door, that you don't expect your 2-year-old to get up and ward off the burglar. The 2-year-old may not even realize that there's danger at the door. But you as the parent or the grandparent would take care of the situation. We praise God and he takes care of the other stuff that we face. So what's the enemy that you face? Is it bigger than God? It's probably not even close. If you have been struggling with an issue for some time and haven't yet seen it resolved, why not praise God for his goodness and take your eyes off of your circumstances? Allow him to do the heavy lifting while you simply rest in his arms as one of his beloved children. There's a record in Acts 16 I'd like to read to you. It's one that we're probably all familiar with, but it's good to read again to see the details. And this is the record where Paul and Silas had been thrown into prison, not because they had done anything wrong, but because the people took issue with them speaking God's word. And we'll start in verse 24. It says, "Who having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks." And this came after they had been beaten. So now they're in the inner prison. They're in the dungeon. And their feet and hands have been restrained. So they're probably not in the most comfortable of positions either. Verse 25. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them. And suddenly, there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loose. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, 'Do thyself no harm, for we are all here.'" So here's the situation. Paul and Silas are unjustly imprisoned, and rather than whining and bemoaning their circumstances, probably in the deepest, darkest, dankest, filthiest part of the prison, what they chose to do was to praise God. And it said that the prisoners heard them. So my guess would be that they were praising God with their understanding because the prisoners heard and they were affected as well. And suddenly there was a great earthquake so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Now think about that. This was a pretty surgical earthquake. You know, it doesn't say the ceilings caved in or the walls collapsed, but the foundations of the prison were shaken and everyone's bands were loosed. That was a pretty surgical earthquake. Only God could do such a thing. He probably was really enjoying that praise, maybe tapping his foot, and what do you know? Here comes an earthquake to free the prisoners. And then the jailer was so concerned because he knew that his life would be taken should any of the prisoners escape. He was ready to take his own life rather than allow himself to die at the hand of his commanders or his bosses. But rather, Paul must have known via the Spirit that this was what was going on, because it was dark where Paul was, but he knew to call out and tell the jailer that, no, we're all here. We're all here. And what went on to happen from that was not only the jailer was saved, but his whole house. And so sometimes we can be in horrible circumstances. And when we take the time to praise God and take our eyes off of the terrible circumstances, God can turn it around for his glory so that not only are you free from the circumstances, but many, many, many other people get blessed as a result. So it's so important for us to remember that we don't need to try to figure everything out for ourselves. We need to simply remember who we belong to and what kind of power he wields. When you praise God, you're humbling yourself. And when you humble yourself, you're submitting yourself to God. And when you submit to God, you can resist the devil. And when you resist the devil, he will flee. And so it is a beautiful cycle. And all that's required is for us to submit ourselves to God and praise him. The word is filled with praise to our God. Also, the manifestation of speaking in tongues offers us the opportunity to praise God perfectly. Both praise with the Spirit and praise with our understanding should be used to honor our dear Father who gave his Son so that we could be redeemed and have eternal life. He is worthy of our praise. Now, I know that this form of praise from the soul may be a little new for some people, and there are just hundreds of scriptures of praise in the Psalms alone. So I compiled a few pages of scriptures of praise from the Psalms that'll be available on the website. When you go to look for this teaching, you can download those scriptures so that you have right in front of you what the Word says to praise God for. And then you add to that as you think about what God has done for you in your life and see if taking the time to praise God with your whole heart throughout the day doesn't make a huge difference in the circumstances that you face. And you'll find that God took care of all the details that you never could have figured out. And instead, you are just filled with joy. So thank you very much. That's what I have to share. And God bless you all.
Though the tears may fall, my song will rise to you. Though my heart may fail, my song will rise. rise, my song will rise to you. While there's breath in my lungs, I will praise you, Lord. In the dead of night, I'll lift my eyes, I'll lift my eyes to you. Though the waters rise, I'll lift my eyes, I'll lift my eyes to you. While there's hope in this heart, I will praise you.